This is tape 2, side 2, page 62. Mashhadi Hossein and Mashhadi Mohammad II Azerbaijani. Mashhadi Hossein and Mashhadi Mohammad were both from the province of Azerbaijan. They were pure souls who took the great step in their own country. They freed themselves from friend and stranger alike, escaped from the superstitions that had blinded them before, strengthened their resolve, and bowed themselves down before the grace of God, the Lord of life. They were blessed souls, loyal, unsullied in faith, evanescent, submissive, poor, content with the will of God, in love with his guiding light, rejoicing over the great message. They left their province and traveled to Adrianople. Here, beside the holy city, they lived for quite a time in the village of Khumruk Kilisa. By day, they supplicated God and communed with him. By night, they wept, bemoaning the plight of him whom the world hath wronged. When the exile to Echal was underway, they were not present in the city and thus were not arrested. Heavy of heart, they continued on in that area, shedding their tears. Once they had obtained a definite report from Acha, they left Rumelia and came here, two excellent souls, loyal bondsmen of the Blessed Beauty. It is impossible to tell how translucent they were of heart, how firm in faith. They lived outside Acha in Bahi Firdaus, worked as farmers, and spent their days returning thanks to God because once again they had won their way to the neighborhood of grace and love. But they were natives of Azerbaijan, accustomed to the cold, and they could not endure the local heat. Furthermore, this was during our early days in Acha, when the air was noxious and the water unwholesome in the extreme. They both fell ill of a chronic high fever. They bore it cheerfully, with amazing patience. During their days of illness, despite the assault of the fever, the violence of their ailment, the raging thirst, the restlessness, they remained inwardly at peace, rejoicing at the divine glad tidings. And at a time when they were offering thanks with all their heart, they hurried away from this world and entered the other. They escaped from this cage and were released into the garden of immortality. Upon them be the mercy of God, and may he be well pleased with them. Unto them be salutations and praise. May God bring them into the realm that abides forever, to delight in reunion with him, to bask in the kingdom of splendors. Their two luminous tombs are in Acha. Haji Abdur Rahim Yazdi. Haji Abdur Rahim of Yazd was a precious soul from his earliest years, virtuous and God-fearing, and known among the people as a holy man, peerless in observing his religious duties, mindful as to his acts. His strong religious faith was an indisputable fact. He served and worshipped God by day and night, was sound, mild, compassionate, a loyal friend. Because he was fully prepared at the very moment when he heard the summons from the supreme horizon, heard the drum beats of, quote, "Am I not your Lord?" unquote, he instantly cried out, quote, "Yea, verily," unquote. With his whole being, he became enamored of the splendors shed by the light of the world. Openly and boldly, he began to confirm his family and friends. This was soon known throughout the city. To the eyes of the evil ulamas, he was now an object of hate and contempt. Incurring their wrath, he was despised by those creatures of their low passions. He was molested and harassed. The inhabitants rioted, and the evil ulamas plotted his death. The government authorities turned on him as well, hounded him, even subjected him to torture. They beat him with clubs and whipped him. All this went on by day and night. He was forced, then, to abandon his home and go out of the city, a vagrant, climbing the mountains, crossing over the plains, until he came to the Holy Land. But so weak he was and wasted away that whoever saw him thought he was breathing his last. When he reached Haifa, Nabil of Chaim hurried to Acha and desired me to summon the Haji at once, because he was in his death agony and failing fast. "Let me go to the mansion," I said, "and ask leave." "It would take too long," he said, "and then Abdur Rahim will never see Acha. I long for him to have this bounty, for him at least to see Acha and die. I beg of you, send for him at once." Complying with his wish, I summoned Abdur Rahim. When he came, I could hardly detect in him a whisper of life. At times he would open his eyes, but he spoke no word. Still the sweet savors of the most great prison restored the vital spark, and his yearning to meet Baha'u'llah breathed life into him again. I looked in on him the next morning and found him cheerful and refreshed. He asked permission to attend upon Baha'u'llah. "It all depends," I answered, "on whether he grants you leave. God willing, you shall be singled out for this cherished gift." A few days later, permission came, and he hastened to the presence of Baha'u'llah. When Abdur Rahim entered there, the spirit of life was wafted over him. On his return, it was clear that this Haji had become a different Haji entirely. He was in the bloom of health. Nabil was dumbfounded. He said, "How life-giving to a true believer is this prison air." For some time, Abdur Rahim lived in the neighborhood. He spent his hours remembering and praising God. He chanted prayers and carefully attended to his religious duties. Thus he saw few people. This servant paid special attention to his needs and ordered a light diet for him. But it all came to an end with the supreme affliction, the ascension of Baha'u'llah. There was anguish then and the noise of loud weeping. With his heart on fire, his eyes raining tears, he struggled weakly to move about. So his days went by, and always he longed to make his exit from this rubbish heap, the world. At last he broke away from the torment of his loss and hurried on to the realm of God and came to the assemblage of divine splendor in the kingdom of lights. Unto him be salutations and praise and mercy ineffable. May God scatter on his resting place rays from the mysterious realm. Haji Abdullah Najaf Abadi. Once he had become a believer, Haji Abdullah left his native Persia, entered to the Holy Land, and under the sheltering grace of Baha'u'llah found peace of heart. He was a man confident, steadfast, and firm, certain of the manifold bounties of God, of an excellent disposition and character. He spent his days in friendly association with the other believers. Then, for a while, he went to Zahar, near Tiberias, where he farmed, both tilling the soil and devoting much of his time to supplicating and communing with God. He was an excellent man, high-minded and unsullied. Later, he returned from Gaur and settled near Baha'u'llah in Junayna, and came often into his presence. His eyes were fixed on the Abha kingdom. Sometimes he would shed tears and moan. Again he would rejoice, glad because he had achieved his supreme desire. He was completely detached from all but God, happy in God's grace. He would keep a vigil most of the night, remaining in a state of prayer. Then death came at the appointed hour, and in the shadowing care of Baha'u'llah he ascended, hurried away from this world of dust to the high firmament, soared upward to the secret land. Unto him be salutations, mercy, and praise in the neighborhood of his exalted Lord. Muhammad Hadi Ishahaf. Yet one more among those who emigrated and came to settle near Baha'u'llah was the bookbinder Muhammad Hadi. This noted man was from Isfahan, and as a binder and illuminator of books, he had no peer. When he gave himself up to the love of God, he was alert on the path and fearless. He abandoned his home and began a dreadful journey, passing with extreme hardship from one country to another, until he reached the Holy Land and became a prisoner. He stationed himself by the holy threshold, carefully sweeping it and keeping watch. Through his constant efforts, the square in front of Baha'u'llah's house was at all times swept, sprinkled, and immaculate. Baha'u'llah would often glance at that plot of ground, and then he would smile and say, "Muhammad Hadi has turned the square in front of this prison into the bridal bower of a palace. He has brought pleasure to all the neighbors and earned their thanks." When his sweeping, sprinkling, and tidying was done, he would set to work illuminating and binding the various books and tablets. So his days went by, his heart happy in the presence of the beloved of mankind. He was an excellent soul, righteous, true, worthy of the bounty of being united with his Lord and free of the world's contagion. One day he came to me and complained of a chronic ailment. "I have suffered from chills and fever for 2 years," he said. "The doctors have prescribed a purgative and quinine. The fever stops a few days, then it returns. They give me more quinine, but still the fever returns. I am weary of this life and can no longer do my work. Save me. What food would you enjoy most? I asked him. What would you eat with great appetite? I don't know, he said. Jokingly, I named off the different dishes. When I came to barley soup with whey, ash ikashk, he said, very good, but on condition there is braised garlic in it. I directed them to prepare this for him, and I left. The next day he presented himself and told me I ate a whole bowl full of the soup. Then I laid my head on my pillow and slept peacefully till morning. In short, from then on he was perfectly well for about 2 years. One day a believer came to me and said, Muhammad Hadi is burning up with fever. I hurried to his bedside and found him with a fever of 42 degrees centigrade. He was barely conscious. What has he done? I asked. When he became feverish, was the reply, he said that he knew from experience what he should do. Then he ate his fill of barley soup with whey and braised garlic, and this was the result. I was astounded at the workings of fate. I told them, because 2 years ago he had been thoroughly purged and his system was clear, because he had a hearty appetite for it and his ailment was fever and chills, I prescribed the barley soup, but this time, with the different foods he has had, with no appetite and especially with a high fever, there was no reason to diagnose the previous chronic condition. How could he have eaten the soup? They answered, it was fate. Things had gone too far. Muhammad Hadi was past saving. He was a man short of stature, lofty of station and mind. His heart was pure, his soul luminous. During all those days when he served the holy threshold, he was loved by the friends and favored by God. From time to time, a smile on his lips, the Blessed Beauty would speak to him, expressing kindness and grace. Muhammad Hadi was loyal always, and he accounted all things other than God's good pleasure as fiction and fable, nothing more. Blessed is he for this gift bestowed upon him, glad tidings to him, for the place to which he shall be led. May it do him good, this wine cup tempered at the camphor fountain, and may all his strivings meet with thanks and be acceptable to God. Mirza Muhammad Quli. Jinabi Mirza Muhammad Quli was a loyal brother of the Blessed Beauty. This great man was known even from his childhood for nobility of soul. He was newly born when his distinguished father passed away, and thus it came about that from the beginning to the end of his days he spent his life in the sheltering arms of Baha'u'llah. He was detached from every selfish thought, averse to every mention except to whatever concerned the holy cause. He was reared in Persia under the care of Baha'u'llah and in Iraq as well, especially favored by him. In the presence of Baha'u'llah it was he who would pass around the tea, and he waited upon his brother at all times, by day and night. He was always silent. He always held fast to the covenant of, quote, am I not your Lord, unquote. He was encompassed by loving-kindness and bounty. Day and night he had access to the presence of Baha'u'llah. He was invariably patient and forbearing, until, in the end, he reached the very heights of divine favor and acceptance. He kept always to his own way of being. He traveled in the company of Baha'u'llah. From Iraq to Constantinople he was with the convoy, and at the halting places it was his task to pitch the tents. He served with the greatest diligence, and did not know the meaning of lethargy or fatigue. In Constantinople as well, and later in the land of mystery, Adrianople, he continued on in one and the same invariable condition. With his peerless lord, he was then exiled to the Akha fortress, condemned by order of the Sultan to be imprisoned forever. But he accepted in the same spirit all that came his way, comfort and torment, hardship and respite, sickness and health. Eloquently he would return thanks to the Blessed Beauty for his bounties, uttering praise with a free heart and a face that shone like the sun. Each morning and evening he waited upon Baha'u'llah, delighting in and sustained by his presence, and mostly he kept silent. When the beloved of all mankind ascended to the kingdom of splendors, Mirza Muhammad Quli remained firm in the covenant, shunning the craft, the malice, and hypocrisy which then appeared, devoting himself entirely to God, supplicating and praying. To those who would listen, he gave wise advice, and he called to mind the days of the Blessed Beauty and grieved over the fact that he himself lived on. After the departure of Baha'u'llah, he did not draw an easeful breath. He kept company with no one, but stayed by himself most of the time, alone in his small refuge, burning with the fires of separation. Day by day he grew feebler, more helpless, until at the last he soared away to the world of God. Upon him be peace, upon him be praise and mercy in the gardens of heaven. His luminous grave is in Naqib by Tiberias. Ustad Bahir and Ustad Ahmad. And again among those who left their homeland were two carpenters, Ustad Bahir and Ustad Ahmad. These two were brothers of pure lineage and natives of Kashan. From the time when both became believers, each held the other in his embrace. They hearkened to the voice of God and to his cry of, quote, "Am I not your Lord?" unquote. They replied, quote, "Yea, verily," unquote. For a time they stayed on in their own country, occupied with the remembrance of God, characterized by faith and knowledge, respected by friend and stranger alike, known to all for righteousness and trustworthiness, for austerity of life and the fear of God. When the oppressor stretched forth his hands against them and tormented them beyond endurance, they immigrated to Iraq, to the sheltering care of Baha'u'llah. They were two most blessed souls. For some time they remained in Iraq, praying in all lowliness and supplicating God. Then Ustad Ahmad departed for Adrianople, while Ustad Bahir remained in Iraq and was taken as a prisoner to Mosul. Ustad Ahmad went on with the party of Baha'u'llah to the Most Great Prison, and Ustad Bahir immigrated from Mosul to Acre. Both of the brothers were under the protection of God and free from every earthly bond. In the prison, they worked at their craft, keeping to themselves, away from friend and stranger alike. Tranquil, dignified, confident, strong in faith, sheltered by the All-Merciful, they happily spent their days. Ustad Bahir was the first to die, and some time afterward his brother followed him. These two were firm believers, loyal, patient at all times, thankful, at all times supplicating God in lowliness, with their faces turned in his direction. During that long stay in the prison, they were never neglectful of duty, never at fault. They were constantly joyful, for they had drunk deep of the holy cup. And when they soared upward out of the world, the friends mourned over them and asked that by the grace of Baha'u'llah they should be favored and forgiven. These two were embosomed in bounty and divinely sustained, and the Blessed Beauty was well pleased with them both. With this provision for their journey, they set out for the world to come. Upon them both be the glory of God, the All-Glorious. To each be a seat of truth in the Kingdom of Splendors. Muhammad Hana Saab. This man of dignity and rank, Agha Muhammad, was yet another among those who abandoned their homes and was one of the earliest believers. From the dawn tide, he was widely known as a lover of the Most Great Light. He was then in Isfahan, and he shut his eyes to this world and the next as well. Footnote: this reference to two worlds, Du Jihan, may indicate the saying, Isfahan is half of the world, or Isfahan nis if Jihan. End of footnote. And opened his eyes to the beauty of him who is the embodiment of all that is lovable. Agha Muhammad could no longer find rest, for he had come alive through the musk-laden breathings of God. His heart was alight. He could inhale the holy fragrance. He had an eye to see and an ear to hear. He guided a number of souls, remaining true and loyal to the great cause. He endured terrible persecution and torment, but did not falter. Then he found favor in the eyes of the King of Martyrs and became a trusted attendant of the Beloved of Martyrs, serving them for some years. Footnote: these twin shining lights were two brothers, famous merchants of Isfahan. Because he owed them a large sum of money, the leading priest, Imam Jumier of the city, brought about their martyrdom. End of footnote. He was confirmed in his work, so that on many occasions the King of Martyrs expressed satisfaction with him, saying, quote, "This man is one of those souls who are at rest. He is indeed well pleased with his Lord, and well pleasing unto him. His faith is unalloyed. He loves God. He has a good character, and leads a quiet life. He is also an agreeable companion, and an eloquent one," unquote. After the King of Martyrs was put to death, Agha Muhammad stayed on for a time in Isfahan, consumed with great mourning for him. Finally, he immigrated to the Most Great Prison, where he was received by Baha'u'llah and won the high honor of sweeping the ground about the threshold. He was patient, forbearing, a true friend and companion. Then the supreme affliction came upon us, and Agha Muhammad was in such anguish that he was unable to rest for a moment. At every dawn he would rise and would sweep the ground about the house of Baha'u'llah, his tears pouring down like rain, chanting prayers as he worked. What a holy being he was! How great a man! He could not bear the separation very long, but died and hastened onward to the world of lights, to the assemblage where the beauty of God is unveiled. May God shed upon his grace rays from the realm of forgiveness, and lull his spirit in the heart of paradise. May God exalt his station in the gardens above. His bright tomb is in Akha. Haji Farajullah Tafrishi. Yet another of those who came out of their homeland to live in the neighborhood of Baha'u'llah was Farajullah of Tafrish. This blessed individual was from earliest youth the servant of Baha'u'llah, and with his esteemed father, Agha Lutfullah, he immigrated from Persia to Adrianople. Agha Lutfullah was a staunch believer, lovingly devoted to the Blessed Beauty, patient, long-suffering, completely indifferent to this world and its vanities. He lived content in the neighborhood of Baha'u'llah, and then humbly at the threshold, with a contrite heart, he abandoned this fleeting life and soared away to the boundless realms beyond. His sweet-scented dust is in Adrianople. As for Haji Farajullah, he lived on in that city until the day when merciless oppressors banished Baha'u'llah to Akha, and in his company the Haji came here to the Most Great Prison. Later on, when hardship was changed into ease, he engaged in trade, becoming a partner to Muhammad Ali of Isfahan. For some time he prospered and was happy. Then he was given leave to go and journeyed to India, where he spent a long period before he winged his way into the gardens of forgiveness and entered the precincts of ineffable mercy. This servant of the Blessed Beauty was one with the believers in their afflictions and calamities. He had his share of the anguish. The favors of Baha'u'llah compassed him about, and he rejoiced in that boundless grace. He was among the companions, a close associate of the friends, and he had a docile heart. Although his body was thin and sickly, he was thankful, accepted it, was patient, and endured the trials of God's path. Unto him be greetings and praise. May he receive heavenly gifts and blessings. Upon him be the glory of God, the All-Glorious. His pure sepulchre is in Bombay, India. Agha Ibrahim e Isfahani and his brothers. And among those who immigrated and came to settle in the Holy Land was Agha Ibrahim, one of four honored brothers, Muhammad Sadiq, Muhammad Ibrahim, Agha Habibullah, and Muhammad Ali. These four lived in Baghdad with their paternal uncle, Agha Muhammad Riza, known as Arid. They all lived in the same house and remained together day and night. Bird-like, they shared the one nest, and they were always fresh and full of grace, like flowers in a bed. When the ancient beauty arrived in Iraq, their house was in the neighborhood of his, and thus they had the joy of watching him as he came and went. Little by little, the manner of that Lord of Hearts, what he did and what he did not do, and the sight of his lovesome face, had its effect. They began to thirst after the faith and to seek his grace and favor. They presented themselves at the door of his house, and if there were flowers blooming there, and they were soon enamored of the light that shone out from his brow, captives of the beauty of that dear companion. They needed no teacher then. By themselves they saw through the veils that had blinded them before, and won the supreme desire of their hearts. As commanded by the Blessed Beauty, Mirza Javad of Turshiz went to their house one night. Mirza Javad had hardly opened his mouth when they accepted the faith. They did not hesitate for an instant, for they had amazing receptivity. This is what is meant by the Quranic verse, quote, "Whose oil would well nigh shine out, even though fire touched it not? It is light upon light," unquote. Quran 24:35. That is, this oil is so fully prepared, so ready to be lit, that it almost catches fire of itself, though no flame be at hand, which means that the capacity for faith and the deserving it can be so great that without the communication of a single word, the light shines forth. This is how it was with those pure-hearted men. Truly they were loyal, staunch, and devoted to God. The eldest brother, Muhammad Sadiq, accompanied Baha'u'llah from Iraq to Constantinople, and from there to Adrianople, where he lived happily for some time, close to his Lord. He was humble, long-suffering, thankful. There was always a smile on his lips. He was light of heart, and his soul was in love with Baha'u'llah. Later he was given leave to return to Iraq, for his family was there, and he remained in that city for a while, dreaming and remembering. Then a great calamity occurred in Iraq, and all four brothers with their noble uncle were taken prisoner. Victimized, captive, they were brought to Mosul. The uncle, Agha Muhammad Riza, was an old man, illumined of mind, spiritual of heart, a man detached from all worldly things. He had been extremely rich in Iraq, enjoying comforts and pleasures, but now in Hadba, Mosul, he became the chief victim among the prisoners and suffered dire need. He was destitute, but remained dignified, patient, content, and thankful. Keeping to himself in an out-of-the-way place, he praised God day and night until he died. He gave up his heart to his heart's love, burst from the shackles of this inconstant world, and ascended to the kingdom that endures forever. May God immerse him in the waters of forgiveness, make him to enter the garden of his compassion and good pleasure, and keep him in paradise till the end of time. As for Muhammad Sadiq, he too in Mosul was subjected to hardships on God's path. He too was a soul at rest, well pleased with his Lord and well pleasing unto him. In the end, he too replied to the voice of the King of Glory, quote, "Lord, here am I," unquote, and came to fulfill the verses, quote, "O thou soul which art at rest, return unto thy Lord, well pleased and well pleasing unto him. Enter thou among my servants, enter thou my paradise," unquote. Quran 89:27-30. And Muhammad Ali, once he was freed from captivity, hastened from Mosul to the Holy Land, to the precincts of inexhaustible grace. Here he still lives. Although he suffers hardship, his heart is at peace. As for his brother Ibrahim, referred to above, he also came on from Mosul to Akka, but to a region close by. There, with patience, calm, contentment, but difficulty, he engaged in trade, meanwhile mourning the ascension of Baha'u'llah by day and night. Lowly and contrite, with his face turned toward the mysterious realms of God, he wore his life away. At the end, consumed by the years, hardly able to move about, he came to Haifa, where he found a corner of the traveler's hospice to live in, and spent his time humbly calling upon God, entreating him, offering praise. Little by little, eaten away with age, his person began its dissolution, and at the end he stripped off the garment of flesh, and with his unclothed spirit took flight to the realm of the All-Merciful. He was transported out of this dark life into the shining air, and was plunged in a sea of lights. May God brighten his grave with spreading rays, and lull his spirit with the fannings of divine compassion. Upon him be the mercy of God and his good pleasure. As for Agha Habibullah, he too was made a captive in Iraq and was banished away to Mosul. For a long time he lived in that city, subjected to hardships, but remaining content and his faith increasing day by day. When famine came to Mosul, life was harder than ever on the outsiders, but in the remembrance of God their hearts were at rest, and their souls ate of food from heaven. Thus they endured it all with astonishing patience, and the people wondered at those strangers in their midst, who were neither distressed nor terrified as the others were, and who continued to offer praise day and night. What amazing trust, the people said, they have in God. Habib was a man with a great store of patience and a joyous heart. He accustomed himself to exile, and he lived in a state of yearning love. After the departure from Baghdad, the prisoners of Mosul were constantly made mention of by Baha'u'llah. With regard to them, he expressed his infinite favor. A few years afterwards, Habib hastened away to the encompassing mercy of God and found a nest and refuge on the boughs of the celestial tree. There, in the paradise of all delights, with wondrous songs, he poured out his praise of the bountiful Lord. Akh Muhammad Ibrahim. Muhammad Ibrahim, who bore the title of Mansur, victorious, was a coppersmith. This man of God, yet another among the immigrants and settlers, was a native of Kashan. In the early flowering of his youth, he recognized the newborn light and drank deep of the holy cup that is tempered at the camphor fountain. He was a man of pleasing disposition, full of zest and the joy of life. As soon as the light of faith was lit in his heart, he left Kashan, journeyed to Baghdad, and was honored with coming into the presence of Baha'u'llah. Akh Muhammad had a fine poetic gift, and he would create verses like stringed pearls. In Zahra, that is Baghdad, the abode of peace, he was on amicable terms with friend and stranger alike, ever striving to show forth loving kindness to all. He brought his brothers from Persia to Baghdad and opened a shop for arts and crafts, applying himself to the welfare of others. He too was taken prisoner and exiled from Baghdad to Mosul, after which he journeyed to Haifa, where day and night, lowly and humble, he chanted prayers and supplications, and centered his thoughts on God. He remained a long time in Haifa, successfully serving the believers there, and most humbly and unobtrusively seeing to the traveler's needs. He married in that city, and fathered fine children. To him, every day was a new life and a new joy, and whatever money he made, he spent on strangers and friends. After the slaying of the King of Martyrs, he wrote an elegy to memorialize that believer who had fallen on the field of anguish, and recited his ode in the presence of Baha'u'llah. The lines were touching in the extreme, so that all who were there shed tears, and voices were raised in grief. Akh Muhammad continued to live out his life, high of aim, unvarying as to his inner condition, with fervor and love. Then he welcomed death, laughing like a rose suddenly full-blown, and crying, "Here am I." Thus he quitted Haifa, exchanging it for the world above. From this narrow slip of land he hastened upward to the well-beloved, soared out of this dust heap to pitch his tent in a fair and shining place. Blessings be unto him and a goodly home. May God sheathe him in mercies. May he rest under the tabernacles of forgiveness and be brought into the garden of heaven. Zainul Abidin Yazdi. One of the emigrants who died along the way to the Holy Land was Zainul Abidin of Yazd. When in Manshad this devoted man first heard the cry of God, he was awakened to restless life. A holy passion stirred him. His soul was made anew. The light of guidance flamed from the lamp of his heart. The love of God sparked a revolution in the country of his inner self. Carried away by love for the loved one's beauty, he left the home that was dear to him and set out for the desired land. As he traveled along with his two sons, gladdened by hopes of the meeting that would be his, he paused on every hilltop, in every plain, village, and hamlet, to visit with the friends. But the great distance stretching out before him changed to a sea of troubles, and although his spirit yearned, his body weakened, and at the end he sickened and turned helpless. All this when he was without a home. Sick as he was, he did not renounce the journey, nor fail in his resolve. He had amazing strength of will, and was determined to keep on, but the illness worsened with every passing day, until at last he winged his way to the mercy of God, and yielded up his soul in a longing unfulfilled. Although to outward eyes he never drained the cup of meeting, never gazed upon the beauty of Baha'u'llah, still he achieved the very spirit of spiritual communion. He is accounted as one of those who attained the presence, and for him the reward of those who reached that presence is fixed and ordained. He was a stainless soul, faithful, devoted, and true. He never drew a breath except in righteousness, and his single desire was to worship his Lord. He walked the ways of love. He was known to all for steadfast loyalty and pure intent. May God fill up reunion's cup for him in a fair country, make him to enter the everlasting kingdom, and console his eyes with beholding the lights of that mysterious realm. Haji Mullah Mehdi Yazdi. Yet another who left his homeland was Mullah Mehdi of Yazd. Although to all appearances this excellent man was not of the learned class, he was an expert in the field of Muslim sacred traditions and an eloquent interpreter of orally transmitted texts. Persevering in his devotions, known for holy practices and nightly communings and vigils, his heart was illumined and he was spiritual of mind and soul. He spent most of his time repeating communes, performing the obligatory prayers, confessing his failings, and supplicating the Lord. He was one of those who penetrate mysteries and was a confidant of the righteous. As a teacher of the faith, he was never at a loss for words, forgetting, as he taught, all restraint, pouring forth one upon another sacred traditions and texts. News of him spread around the town, and he was everywhere charged by prince and pauper alike with bearing this new name. He freely declared his adherence, and on this account was publicly disgraced. Then the evil ulamas of Yazd rose up, issuing a decree that he must die. Since the mujtahid Mullah Bakhir of Ardi Khan refused to confirm the sentence of those dark divines, Mullah Mehdi lived on, but was forced to leave his native home. With his two sons, one of the great martyr-to-be, Jinabi Varha, and the other Jinabi Hossein, he set out for the country of his well-beloved. In every town and village along the way, he ably spread the faith, adducing clear arguments and proofs, quoting from and interpreting the sacred traditions and evident signs. He did not rest for a moment. Everywhere he shed abroad the attar of the love of God, and diffused the sweet breathings of holiness, and he inspired the friends, making them eager to teach others in their turn, and to excel in knowledge. He was an eminent soul, with his heart fixed on the beauty of God. From the day he was first created, and came into this world, he single-mindedly devoted all his efforts to acquiring grace for the day he should be born into the next. His heart was illumined, his mind spiritual, his soul aspiring, his destination heaven. He was imprisoned along his way, and as he crossed the deserts and climbed and descended the mountain slopes, he endured terrible, uncounted hardships. But the light of faith shone from his brow, and in his breast the longing was aflame, and thus he joyously, gladly passed over the frontiers, until at last he came to Beirut. In that city, ill, restive, his patience gone, he spent some days. His yearning grew, and his agitation was such that, weak and sick as he was, he could wait no more. He set out on foot for the house of Baha'u'llah. Because he lacked proper shoes for the journey, his feet were bruised and torn. His sickness worsened. He could hardly move, but still he went on. Somehow he reached the village of Mazrai, and here, close by the mansion, he died. His heart found his well-beloved one, when he could bear the separation no more. Let lovers be warned by this story. Let them know how he gambled away his life in his yearning after the light of the world. May God give him to drink of a brimming cup in the everlasting gardens. In the supreme assemblage, may God shed upon his face rays of light. Upon him be the glory of the Lord. His sanctified tomb is in Mazrai, beside Acha. This is page 86. The next memorial will begin on tape number 3.